Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and with you until 2 o'clock right here this afternoon. Happy New Year to everybody, and I hope you had a blessed and safe New Year. And we're going to get started here this morning. A lot going on, a lot to start the year with, and certainly we can start the year and start our program today with a word of prayer. So let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray that you would bless the program. Use it for your glory, Lord. We just thank you for an opportunity once more. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And Father, just use us for your glory today, we pray. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, I hope you had a wonderful, blessed New Year, safe New Year, and we just hope that this will be the year that the Lord comes back for us, but we don't know that He will, but we don't know that He won't. And so I guess one of the ways you look at it is you spend the year working and hoping that this is the year that He comes back, but working as if He's not going to come back for the next 10 years. So we need to keep busy about the work that God's given us to do. Well, I want to remind you, of course, that Live with Pastor Al, we're a live program, and you have a question about the Bible or current events with in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this afternoon, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here today, and you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And in addition to that, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And if you go there, you can hopefully see our YouTube program, our channel streaming on Facebook there. And so I invite you to check that out. You can go to YouTube and just Google or search YouTube for Live with Pastor Al. You should find us there as well. But with all that in mind, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We'll have more information on that at the end of the program. And of course, you can find out all this information. Just go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. Well, a good program. Enjoyed hearing about Pastor Lett's daughter and singing in New York City and different places around there. And, you know, the Bible talks about being salt and light in the world around us. And that's one of the way we do it. One of the ways in which we do it, we take the Word of God, whether it's through the radio or just an opportunity to be a witness. And oftentimes through song, songs have an amazing way of reaching into people's hearts and minds beyond what words can do sometimes. I'm not a musically oriented person myself, but I know when we go into a nursing home, in our nursing home ministry, every Sunday afternoon, we have a service at a local nursing home, and you'll see people sometimes who are unresponsive, but when you start singing a song about the Lord, yeah, just even something simple as Jesus loves me, this I know, you'll see people who hardly speak or hardly interact all of a sudden start to open up and react just singing that song. And plus, music does have a way of taking Bible truths, when it's good godly music, taking Bible truths and bringing it into you, almost bypassing, you know, think of how many people, if you're old enough that you can remember the special Orders Don't Upset Us commercial song, so, or the plop plop fizz fizz, number of things like that. There's people listening who are all of a sudden remembering the tune just that quick. But today, though, we want to get into a couple of things here and touch on some things that are happening in the world around us. I had some things that I wanted to talk about originally and look at originally, but today, I think in light of some of the things that have happened here recently, we think of the shooting at the church in Texas, and the, of course, the member of the security team that was able to put a stop to it within 6 seconds. And I really do believe that God guided his hands, guided his fingers in his response in order to be able to bring that to a stop very quickly. I was thinking of Psalm 144, verse number 1, where the Bible says, David is writing here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, "Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." And when we look at this, we recognize that God is in control, and we recognize that God is our shield and God is our deliverer. But if you'll notice there in Psalm 144, in these first two verses here, it's one sentence. And as I've said before, one of the things I like about the King James Bible as opposed to the modern versions is the King James Bible preserves the long sentence structure. You say, well, what's the big deal with that? See, the modern versions, they bought into this idea that all the longer sentences have to be chopped up. Well, when you chop them up, you lose track of the interrelationship of the various clauses within these long sentences. And so, because Psalm 144, verses 1 and 2, is all one sentence, we understand that everything in there is interrelated to the overall subject. And the overall subject, I believe, is the Lord my strength. Let's look at this. Psalm 144, verse 1, "Blessed be the Lord my strength." Now, that's the main subject. But what does the Lord my strength do? And why is he to be blessed? Well, he teaches my hands to war, that's what David says, and my fingers to fight. Wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to be pacifists if we're Christians? Aren't we supposed to turn the other cheek? Aren't we supposed to remember that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal? Here's David saying one of the reasons that God is to be blessed because he's his strength is that God teaches his hands to war and his fingers to fight. Now, let me pause there. And one of the reasons I'm looking at this verse today is not just simply the church shooting in Texas and thanking God for a man that was there ready to defend God's people, but also looking at this attack where we took out the Al-Quds general in I think it was the Baghdad airport. I'm trying to remember exactly where it was, but when we're looking at this guy here that was just taken out, and I'm trying to find the guy's name here, Soleimani. I'm going to pronounce it wrong, I'm sure. Soleimani and Qasem. Qasem Soleimani, general, and he was general of the Quds forces, elite forces. He was one of the most powerful men in Iran, and he is responsible for thousands of deaths. He's responsible for hundreds and hundreds of American deaths. The IEDs, for instance, over in Afghanistan and parts of Iraq and all that have taken the lives of American soldiers and also injured hundreds more. Various attacks. I remember when I graduated from high school, one of the members of my class went into the Marines, and he was over in Lebanon when the Iranians had the attack against the Marine barracks, and he was there at the time. And I remember meeting a gentleman at the nursing home who had been there at that time. And this was orchestrated, again, going back to General Soleimani. And this guy's got blood on his hands. Like I said, killing thousands, hundreds of Americans, thousands and thousands more lives shattered and changed completely due to the evil of this man in Iran. And, you know, the idea that he was taken out by a U.S. drone strike. Well, this is actually a wonderful thing when you look at it in comparison to what God has in the Scriptures. And that's why we're in this passage here today in the Scriptures, because God said, or David said, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Then there's a colon there after Psalm 144, verse 1. And he goes into verse 2 and he says, "My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust." Now, when we look at this, we're recognizing that David considers God to be his strength, to be his goodness, to be his fortress, to be his high tower, to be his deliverer, to be his shield. God is the one in whom he's trusting. He's not trusting in his own strength. He's not trusting in the strength of his army. He's not trusting in the strength of his mighty men. And I'm going to take a look at a passage here in 2 Samuel in just a minute. But he is trusting in God. But you know what? God often has us do things for ourselves. God could have cleared the entire promised land out from all of the idolaters and pagans that were there and those that became enemies of the Jewish people. He could have just wiped them all out, but he chose to bring Israel in under Joshua and to strengthen their army and their military so that they could go in and defeat the enemies. Now, you say, well, wasn't that just God being bloodthirsty and wiping people out because he didn't like them? No, God had passed judgment against the Canaanites because of their paganism, because of their idolatry, because of their human sacrifice, their baby sacrifice. God had passed judgment on them, and he used the Jewish people under Joshua to bring that judgment upon them. And it's much like when God raised up Nebuchadnezzar and called this pagan king his servant because he brought Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians against Jerusalem, again in judgment against Jerusalem for their rejection of God, their paganism, and their human sacrifice and things that they had fallen into, their idolatry. And so God raises up sometimes enemies. We see that all through the book of Judges when Israel got comfortable and at ease in the land and they forgot God and they turned to idols. God would allow the Philistines or some other group to rise up and he used them in judgment and also chastisement against his people. And so in this case here, we see that David recognizes who God is, the Lord, my strength, my goodness, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust. And this is the same Lord who subdues, he says, my people under me. But here's the key, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. God expects us to do things. God wants to use us in many ways. Remember when Peter was taken captive and Herod was going to kill him, and the people were praying for him in the book of Acts that he would be delivered, and God sent an angel into the prison, and the keepers of the prison all went into a deep sleep. Nobody woke up, and the angel, in fact, had to hit Peter to get him up as well, and he got up in his manacles and things fell off, and he gathered his coat, and he walked toward the outer door, and the cell doors opened up, and the gates to the prison opened up, and God, through this angel, delivered Peter from the prison. Well, God didn't just snap his fingers and Peter magically disappeared from the prison and reappeared out in the streets or even over where the church was having a prayer meeting for his deliverance. But no, God expected Peter to do certain things. And a long time ago, I remember reading somebody was talking about when God does miracles, oftentimes he, in a sense, conserves the miraculous aspect where he has people do what we can do, and then he does what we cannot do. And there's tons of examples of it throughout the scriptures. Remember the woman with the urns that her and her sons, the widow woman, were to fill with oil. and they had to gather as many pots and as many containers as they could, and they had a little urn filled with oil, and they were to keep filling. And then when they ran out of containers to fill, the oil stopped flowing, and they were told to take that oil and sell it to provide for their needs and to pay off their debt. And God could have just gave them the money, just made it magically appear, but he made them do what they could do, and he did what they could not do. Jesus' first miracle, when he turned the water into wine. If you remember what happened there, he didn't just speak and the water turned to wine. Instead, he said, go and fill water pots with water, and then take it into the governor of the feast and draw out. And when they drew out, they found that it had turned to water. He made them do what they could do, and he did what they could not do. And then remember when Jesus fed the 5,000. Actually, there's two occasions where he fed thousands of people, and that's just counting the men, not counting the women and children. And in both cases, he had the disciples found somebody that had a little bit of food, some loaves of bread and some fishes, and he prayed and blessed, and then he made the people sit down, and he just broke the bread and broke the fishes and kept passing it out, and he made the disciples go around and pass out the food, and the people organized themselves and distributed the food and ate the food. He didn't just speak a word and everybody was filled and nourished. He had them do what they could do, but he did what they could not do. And I think we recognize a little bit of this here too in Psalm 144 verses 1 and 2. David is recognizing that God was his ultimate deliverer, shield, high tower, fortress, all these things. But God was going to expect him to do something. And that's why in the midst of this, he says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Now that brings me over here to a passage in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 23 starts out with, in verse 1, now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. And this is interesting. When he's talking about this, David is talking about the Lord and how the Lord spake by him. His word was in his tongue. And as we come down through this chapter here, you come down to verse number 8, and it says this. Now, this is the same David who was giving his testimony as the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the one who said the Spirit of the Lord spake by him and that God's word was in his tongue. In verse 8, the Bible says, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. Now, David had this incredible relationship with God, and God loved him, and God blessed him and used him. But David was just a man, and he was not perfect. And in this chapter, we find a reminder that David, in addition to being the sweet psalmist of Israel, in addition to being the anointed of the God of Jacob, he was also a military man, a man that God used in a mighty way to defeat the enemies of Israel. And David, who realized it was God that taught his hands to war and his fingers to fight, he also realized that he wasn't in this alone. God had raised up mighty men. And this is the phrase that's used here in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. And the first one here, he says, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahoite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered there together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave under the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to the spoil. And it goes on talking about others in this passage that lifted up the spear, that took the sword, that fought, that battled against the enemies of Israel to protect God's people. And you know what? Just as God raised up men in David's day, and I'm not going to pretend that all of these men were shining examples of perfect godliness. They were men like David, and we know David had his flaws. The same David that we read about here as the sweet psalmist of Israel, the anointed of the God of Jacob, this is the same David that committed adultery with Bathsheba and then condemned her husband to die in battle, and then cover in an effort to cover up his idolatry. It's the same David that was moved to number Israel when he was told not to, and he's a man of war, and yet God used him in a mighty way, and God still raises up people today. I think it's very clear that our current president was raised up by God. I say, well, wait a minute, he's not perfect. No, he's not. Are you perfect? I'm not perfect. Now, my hope and prayer is that he's forgiven, that he's put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. There's evidence that he has. There's testimony that he has. He has certainly been probably one of the most Christian-friendly presidents that we have had since at least Ronald Reagan, if not more than that even. But here we have a man for such a time as this, and God clearly raised him up in 2016 November on election night. Everybody thought he was losing. And from things that I've read and heard, he thought he was losing. But nevertheless, the poll numbers or the polls changed, the results coming in changed, and the numbers began to change, and it became evident that candidate Trump was soon going to become president-elect Trump. And that's what happened. And it is amazing. About the same time the numbers started changing, there was a prayer meeting going on in Israel. And they were praying for different countries. They wanted to pray for the American election, presidential election. And as they began praying for the election there, we see that there was a change that began to take place. And there's others that began praying. Well, David said that God sets up rulers and takes them down. And I believe God intervened there. And we see God's hand in history today. And we see God's hand on our country today. The blessings, the things, the tremendous things that have been taking place, the tremendous growth in our nation's economy and people working that had no hope of work, unemployment amongst the minority communities being the lowest, unemployment being the lowest it's ever been since we've kept records. It's incredible to see what is happening. And I believe a lot of this is because God raised up President Trump, who was willing to stand by Israel. You know, it's interesting. In 2000, I was reading an article recently, I believe it was in 2015 or thereabouts, or 16, President Obama actively worked to prevent the Israelis from taking out this Iranian general, Soleimani. And who knows how many lives could have been saved by getting rid of that individual back then. They were prevented. But yet President Trump and the Israelis had a working agreement that they would take him out when given the chance. And I think this was an excellent opportunity that we have somebody who is a mighty man that God is using, and God is using him to protect our country, to protect Israel, to protect God's people in other parts of the world. Well, we know that it's not through the hand of man that deliverance ultimately is going to come. It's through the hand of Christ. And yet we look at God intervening just like he did with David and the mighty men of David, which were men of war to defend God's people and protect God's people then, and to bring judgment against the enemies of God. God's doing the same thing today. I hope you're on God's side today. You know how you be on God's side? Put your faith in Christ if you haven't already. Trust Christ as your Lord and Savior and serve Him, live for Him. Well, thanks for listening today. Happy New Year. Join us next time.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.